Interview is with Dr. Abraham P. Nassetier, historian, scholar, and professor emeritus of history at San Diego State University. Dr. Nassetier taught history at San Diego State University for 49 years and is considered the outstanding authority on the Spanish in the Mississippi Valley, as well as the French in Alta California. Today is October 28, 1981, and the session is being held at the Malcolm Love Library in the San Diego History Research Center on the campus of San Diego State University. The interviewer is Alexandra Liberski, graduate student representing the university archives here on campus at the Research Center. More or less test the sound volume.
Oh.
Because once in a while your voice won't pick up.
Mine won't. Mine not right now. It's an unusual situation.
You have?
They used to take... No,
so
I don't know what's happened. I'm just getting older.
Oh.
They used to take notes for me on the grass below from the second class up there.
Uh-huh.
I've known that. And then in the last years or so, they've been hollering louder.
Okay. These go pretty good. In fact, they're telling me that even the sound of this door behind us through the wall will pick up on the machine.
Hmm.
But anyway, do you have any problem getting here this morning or anything?
No, I've been around here for quite a while.
That's what I understand.
No. I just wanted to, today and tomorrow. See, normally I'm here about 8:30, 8:15. But today and tomorrow, I didn't get on campus till later. I never know. Just these 2 days. That's all.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for agreeing to come out.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm here. I was here yesterday.
That's what Dr. Colston says. He sees you an awful lot.
Yeah, yes.
Good.
Yes.
Well, I'm really glad to be able to get the recording. And
I haven't got yet into my mind exactly what you want.
Okay. Well, with the oral history tapes, I think the idea behind it is to get a narrative of your different experiences, and I just tried to get a small sampling. You saw the questionnaire that I sent.
Yeah,
you.
But I did not prepare on that.
You didn't?
No.
Purposely?
No. I was just busy enough and forgot about it.
Okay.
Both of them.
Good.
Both of them. So I thought, did you see the brochure when they put me up for the best teacher?
Well, I saw a lot of the things on file at the San Diego Historical Society.
Well, I understand
Society.
That the star put that on. If not, you see, because I have the only copy that I know of now. There were quite a number of copies out a long time ago. That has a lot of data up to, I guess that's about 64, 5, 6, right around in there. And I brought this out for you, which is a speech that I made. I made more length out. I think I must have given it in various forms 15 times. I never have published it. I won't. And I found one copy, and I think this is the whole one. I only gave a half of it to the speech here, but originally that was given for Phi Alpha Theta. You can have that.
All right,
and,
great.
And that will show you some of the experiences that I had with regard to my own scholarship.
Okay.
I called it Adventures in Scholarship when I first gave it. I later on called it Sleuthing, Historical Sleuthing.
All right. Great. Okay, very good. Now, how about if I plan to Xerox it here and then return it to you?
Oh, it's all right. I think it'd be better to do it there. Because I know I have a couple other copies, but I better not lose them. I think that's the full copy. That's what
okay.
I want to be sure of.
Okay, then I'll look this over after
it's
we're
all
done
right.
And
so
Xerox it and then perhaps...
I'll just tell you some of my experiences, which starts
okay.
out by way of my graduate years there. That's
okay,
why I thought
very
I'd
good.
Bring that for you into here.
Well, maybe we can start then with your early years, as in your growing up in the Santa Ana area.
Oh.
Is that what I gathered from some of the newspaper articles?
Well, I'm born in Santa Ana.
Okay, well, perhaps we can start there so I can find out or we can know where your family came from and how it turned out that they came to California. I noticed your work with the Sons of the Golden West.
Well, and that's because I'm born in
that California. You're right, and I was wondering how that tied in, or...
Well, I don't know whether you want it or not, but let me try it out on you. My father came from the extreme border of Lithuania, from a town now known as Dvinsk. Dvinsk is on the Dwina River, but it was on both sides, and the Jewish part of it was on one called Denenberg, but that didn't make any difference. That's called the city, and that's where he was born. And about his early life, I don't know much about it. I tried to find out. Every once in a while we got something out of him, but nothing onto it. My mother was born on the other side of Lithuania, near the Latvian borderline, and she was a niece of my father's. Now that's just to hold back for just a minute and give you the story. My father came to this country. Why, I don't know, but I think it's probably to escape the draft of Russian army and something like that. But he got over to Hamburg, and he had heard from everybody that everybody of his towns and so on went to New York, so he asked for a ticket to the next place next to New York. So they sold him a ticket to Chicago. That's all they knew. My father came over to Chicago with $8, that I know definitely, in his pocket. Naturally, as an immigrant, he went to the synagogue where every Jew helped each other out, and he became a peddler. Not liking to remain in Chicago, he was one who peddled to the south of Illinois. He went out from Monday to Friday to the south into around Peoria, around all the central part of that, and came back to Chicago every Friday, because the Jews at that time always centered in the synagogue, and anybody that needed money to pay for his goods there, they all chipped and gave to him on the whatever days it comes in. And he was turned west that way. Now why, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And when he got enough money, he went over to Omaha and opened up a grocery store, a store anyway, that was his first store. Why he turned west, I do not know, except that he probably went away from the centers of population, because as you go west, there are fewer and fewer Jews. And he worked himself, well, now wait a minute. Now where it comes in, it should come in before in here. My father came to this country, and from here he went to South Africa. He left it there and was 14 or 18 months in Orange Free State, peddling.
Gee.
And came back to the United States in 1888. And the reason I know that is because it was during the election of Benjamin Harrison. And then began the next things into here, that he went west. Now where the two come together, I don't know. I never did find out. Why, I don't know. I know why I didn't find out about my progenitors and why his family came into this, because they have no records. I do not know Russian. My father could only remember of his grandfather, and that as much as to where, what line he came from, whether it's some of the old line up the background of the medieval trade routes through Russia that way, or to Spain, to Holland, and then in where most of them came from later on. I don't know which one it is into there. And the parents of both my father and my mother were dead before I ever got to Europe for the first time.
Oh.
So I never visited Russia. I knew no Russian. Now to go back. My father came out to California, and looking for a smaller city, he never did care for the big city for some reason or another. And he finally settled on Santa Ana, where he opened a gents' furnishing store. Then he sent for my mother from Russia and brought her over to Los Angeles. My mother was only in this country 10 days when he married her in Los Angeles. Mm. And then that's why we're all born in Santa Ana, you see.
Right.
He used to go into Los Angeles to buy goods and so on. And that was the Jewish population, had some there. And my friends and my godmother is from there too, and the rest of them. We were the only Jews in Santa Ana.
As you were growing up?
Oh, yes. There was one later on, and towards the end of our stay in Santa Ana, we did have more Jews.
Then you would travel to Los Angeles to go to the synagogue and
on the
holidays.
Until my brother, my older brother, I'm the third one. There are four of us.
Four of you?
There are four of us. My older brother, and then comes my sister, then me, and then my younger brother. Now, when my older brother was confirmed, that's at the age of 13.
What was his
he
name?
He was born Julius.
Julius.
He was born, the first one. By the way, my father and mother were married in February, I think it was, 1900. My brother was born in November of 1900. That we always remembered. We always remembered his birthday. When he was 13, my father had all of our celebrations come down from Los Angeles to Santa Ana. And from then on, during the high holidays, we had a synagogue in our house.
Oh.
From the surrounding ones that we got into there for a short time.
Uh-huh.
Now there. Let's see now.
Then your family became like the community center for a while.
Well, that's just in our house. We had it in our house from that time on. And we used to hold it for some Saturdays until we'd poop out of not getting the required number and so on.
Yeah.
Which would be another 3-4 months or every year lengthened.
Right.
But my father was very anxious to get out of Santa Ana for two reasons. First of all, he was a good Jew and didn't want us growing older without any Jewish
good
companions. Oh yes, he was very afraid of that. Now with regard to me, let's see now.
Now the second child was your sister.
My sister.
What was her name?
Frances.
And then you, right?
Yeah, and then my younger brother, George.
Did any of them become academic, or were you the one?
I'm the only academic. We all went to college. My older brother was a pharmacist. My sister was a social worker. I'm an academician. And my younger brother, well, he's an accountant and businessman. He went to college as an accountant. But he never was a CPA, and he was in business rather than in accountancy.
Did your father ever get you out of Santa Ana or not?
Oh, yes, when I was in junior high.
By the time you were in junior high?
Oh, yes, but wait a minute, you got to go. There's two things that are important in my life in Santa Ana, outside of Bird. This thing happened.
I read part of that in a newspaper clipping.
Yeah. This happened in 1913, August. I think it was August the 11th, I've forgotten now, but it's August. 1913. I was a pretty wild kid, that's true, but that doesn't mean much here.
You were what, about 9 years old?
I think I was, yes, I was 10 in November, or was I? Yeah, 10 in November, so that would be nine, I would be about nine, almost 10. Now, there's some question about that, and the reason is it came up later on. I've always been brought up to think that I'm born on November 24th, 1904. The state says I'm born 1903. The question arose when I returned from a sabbatical here and had to do with the retirement. And we don't know to this day.
Your birth certificate was recorded?
There is no birth, no, Orange County wasn't even organized. My only one to have a birth certificate is my younger brother.
By that time?
Oh, yes. My younger brother has a birth certificate, none of the rest of us. And there's the question, you see.
Oh.
And that make it more or less the same thing 9 years old anyway, because I was in the fifth grade at the time. I was sent by my mother to the bakery on skates, and I got it and came back, and going around the corner in there, the bakery truck, the owner of the bakery in which I just come out of in there, he didn't wait on me, but he was the owner, I knew him very well, was coming out of a sort of a blind alley, and I fortunately had my hands with the bakery, because I think it was some rolls, I've forgotten how it. And I stuck my head out here into the bakery truck. You see, that was the open truck of the wheels. And so it knocked his thumb off and then just went into here and left a little bit hanging on here. And so I was bleeding and crying and got up myself and started to skate home, holding it up because I was afraid to face my mama when they caught me and took me to the hospital.
Aww.
Oh, sure.
Oh, dear.
Sure.
You poor little thing.
Yes, my father says that he would have never consented to it. Although the doctor told me at that time, now remember that's before World War I, that it would never come back. Because sewed on, see, not the thumb, that was gone, but the rest of it, just the pure thing, it would be stiff and couldn't use it anyway. But he said because of my mother, who was a sickly woman and very nervous, and she didn't go crazy and anything like that, and she was a sickly woman, and he had to take care of her, really, when he consented to it. After the war, I mean, World War II, nowadays, there's no question about it. I could never have had that in my thumb because that was similar, but now that's the turning point in my life. You see, because I was interested in the violin at the time as a young kid, and probably would have been a doctor.
You were studying music locally
violin.
From a teacher?
I'd already gone from the beginning teacher to the second teacher at that time. Oh, sure.
And you're interested in becoming a medical doctor?
Well, I would have probably been a doctor. That's a guess on my part, and going backwards, and you never know. But I'm quite sure that I would not have been an academician. I don't think so. Then my father's influence, not on what to become, because my father never went to school in his life. But he was never missed a day studying in his life either.
Sure.
Oh, every morning. Sure, I used to get up every morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and study Hebrew with my father till he went to the store. Sure. Then I'd practice my violin. Oh, sure. Then I'd go to school, and I was a pretty rambunctious, mischievous kid.
What was the school like in Santa Ana? Was it the traditional one-room schoolhouse?
No.
No, it was...
Oh, no.
Because you'd mentioned that in Santa Ana there wasn't too much...
Who said so?
No?
Oh, no. We had several grammar schools, And about 2 years before I got graduated through the sixth grade, we created the junior high school.
Oh.
Already. And we had a new high school. The junior high went into the old high school. No, we were in a regular 6 year grade. And our house on Orange Avenue, the alley, and then the rest of the whole block was the school.
Oh.
Two-story, three-story, a wooden one.
So you lived there. Close by?
Oh, yeah, right in the back door.
Right in the back door.
Back door into school. As a matter of fact, when I was in the sixth grade, I was a small boy. The little Mrs. Strickenbacher, I'll never forget her. Never to this day. She would get me up and put me up on the corner facing our house through the pepper tree, and my mother would sometimes see me and then knew I was a bad boy. But it got so bad in all the school in there that if I ever come home with this collar button still on, and my mother would inquire whether I was sick or something of the kind.
She expected.
I was a very mischievous boy. Not destructive, but a mischievous, and could never get it, and never pass up a dare. Oh yeah. Now I know. I can tell you why all those things happened, but that's a later development, as you find out. Then you see, my father always talked to me. He says, "Listen, He was not a poor man when we were born. He was never a very rich man, but never a poor man. So far as we're concerned, so I never saw poverty in the lowest level, but he always said he'd take care of us until we get on our own. Always counseled us to do whatever we wanted to, but in my case, he was a little scared. Now I know it, but I didn't know it then. He said, "Listen, I can lose my money, but anything you put into your head, you can't lose."
That's right.
That's where the old Hebraic training of a profession comes in. So it was some kind of a teacher that started to come out of that. There's no question about it. That's where it started. He believed in anybody who sat down and studied. It was all right. He didn't care about what it was. So he could even catch my errors in grammar, although he probably had a harder time spelling than I did. Because he came over here without ever in school. Now, the point is, just at this time too, I was in the fifth grade, when they didn't know how to handle me. They never could give me enough work. But I was always through my homework before school was out. I was never evidently a dull, dumb kid, but I was a fairly bright fella. So I went through the fifth and the sixth grades in 1 year.
Oh.
And was put into junior high right off the bat. And then, you see, from junior high, in the middle of junior high, there comes, these are the two transferring things in my youthful life into there. When I was in the eighth grade, we transferred to Los Angeles. And I went to Custer Junior High. And bragging at all times, that was the toughest school in Los Angeles too, by the way, but I never had trouble with that.
What general area was that in?
Temple Street, Echo Park.
In Echo Park. And this was part of your dad's wanting to get out of Santa Ana. You'd moved.
Oh, we moved, yeah, sure.
So you moved.
He got you out.
Oh,
he got us all out there, you see, at that time.
Yeah.
And there, they used to get into all kinds of trouble. The principal used to bring my dad down. And my dad used to tell her, "You can do anything you want to my boy except kill him." And the vice principal was Vernon Kersey, who later became the state superintendent. And he used to take me out and send me on all the errands. Any errand they needed over to USC or something like that. He pulled me out of class and sent it to him. And also he taught the Spanish. Then I was in taking Spanish into there. And I was given every kind of a punishment of all sorts, day after school. The secret of that, of all the trouble, that they never could really do anything to me to keep me out of mischief, is because they never found a punishment that I didn't like. I loved to sleep in hand. Help the janitor. I did that in grammar school. I did it there. I love to stay after school to help a teacher. Well, that's fine. That never bothered me. Playable. But that I didn't learn until after I was in college, why it was. Because it was truly, I can understand a lot of things that happened to my mother, I suppose, too. Because I was known always as never to pass up a dare. That's why to this day I used to look at the squint at the sun. Because some of the eye that comes from that. I used to go up on the house and in there, you know, jump off on the street and make my mother crazy and everything else into there. There's all kinds of incidents in my life of that nature. Not destructive.
Just mischievous
as can be. And no one could ever do anything. I used to go out and my father could never know what to do with me in summertime. So when my uncle came to town, he was a junk man. I used to go out with him.
Is this your father's brother?
No, my mother's
brother. Your mother's brother?
Mother's brother. And when he left and went to Oregon, and he made me go out from the only agricultural experience I ever had, was out in irrigating an orange grove in Garden Grove one summer. I mean, those are things when my father, a great walker, and he would always meet my older brother and I at the end of school. This is in grammar school, in the lower grades.
This is still in Santa Ana?
In Santa Ana. Take us out walking on the railroad tracks. The Huntington Beach one was just being built at that time. And he knew instinctively that when we'd go about a mile or two, and then my brother and I would sit down and play marbles, and he'd go on further, but he knew instinctively when to get back, when to break up. Yeah. Oh yeah, this happened for years, and we've always been walkers all our lives into there.
Well, you were telling me that once you got into the eighth grade, you were going to explain some of the experiences, I think, that you had there that had this started your interest in history. You said you studied Spanish?
No. It was some kind of a teacher or something. We didn't think of it in terms of that at the time. But when I was in junior high, into there, I was interested, of course, in Spanish and so on. But I went through junior high and nothing flat.
And this is in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, well, in the middle of the eighth grade is where we were, and went into there. I didn't have a whole year, so it was the seventh, eighth, ninth. When I graduated junior high, which was in 1917, I went immediately into the 11th grade, not the 10th. Into the 11th, and got through high school in February of 1919. I was just a year and a half in high school.
Now, No, they weren't just trying to move you along because you were so mischievous, did they?
No. I was collecting credits. It wasn't a question of that. I'll never forget one instance. I'll never forget when it was a graduation class from my junior high. They wanted to go on a trip down to Seal Beach, I think, or Huntington Beach, which I've known when, but this is when we were in Los Angeles. And my father didn't want me to go. Why, I don't know.